This is Nicola Comotti, always joined here by Angela Cerbi. So let's just round up with this beautiful retrospective slash homage that Rohini's paying to beautiful minds and clever minds in cinema.
Oh, yes. And this one is pretty
exactly.
clever.
Last not least, as we say, the Gran Premio Torino, in fact, will go to Julian Temple.
Mr. Julian Temple. Here with this movie, The Sound and the Fury, which was... Filth and Fury, which is about... Sex Pistols.
Exactly. So he always been very, very keen on Sex Pistols figure and symbol, and he spent a few times in actually portraying them, like the Filth and Fury, of course, and then Sex Pistols. There's always been in England. You know, he's a fully blown Londoner, and he really lived those times through.
He always had a kind of It was weird because he doesn't look like a punk fan at all, because he's a very relaxed and calm guy. But it is always been fascinated by this group. And this film is pretty good.
Yeah,
actually.
Definitely.
It's really good. But we have to remember him for, like, I think the best long sequence shot ever in this.
Which is
the opening sequence of Absolute Beginners. That was one of my favorite movies ever. And there was this huge, enormous, monumental David Bowie song, and this very long shot that lasted through the whole song on the film credit. And it was the first long take sequence that long in recent cinema.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm just making it up. I don't know if it's true. But for me it was the first time that I saw such a long sequence. So well done and so modern and fascinating. So.
Yeah, I mean, I actually know him more a bit for his video clip work. Yeah. You know, he's one of the masters of actually of bringing art into that kind of concept.
But
of
actually, what he did with that long take was bringing his masters of video clip into the world, because it was like a very long video clip, that thing.
Exactly.
But shot in one long sequence.
So there you go. Turin will actually pay a rightful homage to Julian Temple. Everyone will be able to see it. But also, there's a lot of brand new films.
Well, luckily, yes.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's not just about past people, but we always need to open up to breakthrough directors, first and second feature little endeavors. And I managed to see a few already. And right now, I think a couple are still running. But of course, you know, being a part of the press little elite, I watched it yesterday. Ha ha ha. But, you know, the audience right now is actually watching something that Riposi and Massimo. One that I'm talking about is A Gentleman by Mikael Marcimain. So it's this Swedish film. This is a big return to no nonsense, an incredible tight screenplay. It's based on the books by Klaus Oderberg, and is this beautiful kind of... there's a big sort of fashion about going back to the 60s and 70s and creating a really fresh look into it. You know, us Italian people actually have been really known lately for bringing, you know, up to kind of international audiences what terrible things happened during the 60s and 70s. Also, like, sublime things sometimes. And this is actually on the Swedish take. Mm-hmm. So we see the big sexual and freedom revolution in the 60s going actually into the 70s, though. And there was a terrible kind of state years of, you know, muddled through. And all this kind of put it together by incredibly beautiful characters. So these two brothers, the Morgan brothers, and this kind of detached but also very attached look of the writer, that is Oscar, that is Klaus himself, looking at his history unraveling through, and psychologies mixing all around. So it's a very, very ambitious film.
And very long, too.
Yeah, it's 2 hours and 20, I think.
Exactly. Sometimes, and did it work?
I'd say it started off, I was very skeptical at the beginning. But actually, since it's so long, it was actually what I call the diesel films. You know, the beginning is just a kind of slow burner, and then it comes in.
Yeah.
And for a good solid half an hour, 40 minutes, it was really good. And then, unfortunately, there was an anticlimax at the end. Things kind of got a bit loose. And
really?
Yeah. But once again, it's really refreshing to see something like that, which is not just about like a bunch of ideas and then beautiful kind of shallow depth of field. But it's, you know, it's just...
which we see a lot.
A lot, unfortunately. But it was something, you know, something actually pretty, pretty strong from the screenplay perspective. And what can I say as well? I also watched a beautiful film, which was called... No, I'm going to talk about it another time. Because, you know, you're going to have me all day, every day, for a while.
God.
I'm sorry. So I'm going to talk about another film that kind of... It was very ambitious again, completely different, you know, like...
But the good of this festival actually is that one. If you are able to follow up all the development of it, of the festival from the beginning to the end, you are there to witness a lot of different, but really different stuff. So sometimes so different that you don't really get it where you are and what you're watching.
This is actually a prime example. In fact, Ozu by Emily Veram was the complete opposite. I mean, I take symbols and tropes and I want to bring art and no narrative into my film. She shot, directed, edited everything herself. And it's all about this very kind of confusing handheld journey into this remote island where all the adults are paranoid. And the kids are kind of restricted into this weird world, and there's a lot of kind of dreamy, nightmarish almost lifestyle. But for half an hour, we don't know what's going on, but we're really drawn into it. And once again, unfortunately, it kind of gets a bit as tight as it should have been.
When you have to get to the end, when you have to close a tale, if the tale is too complex, very often you just lose something.
Fred Film Radio. 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.